but you are better now, better now.
Hey everybody, Tobin and Leroy here with you. Whiskey Stars and Cigars is tomorrow, presented by WQAM and Edmore Sawgrass Automall. You guys can talk sports with the WQAM staff. We'll all be there. Our Silly Sauce Brigade, anybody who is there, come say hello. Frog Boy loves selfies, so, you know, get on over there, everybody. It is at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. Enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. That is this Wednesday at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits in Plantation Walk. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Automall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year. Sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. And by the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. Let's get to the mixed bag, huh? The mixed bag is brought to you by Joel Embiid's Tears.
Ah, yes. The perfect mixer for my mint julep that I'll be having tomorrow.
Are you going to have a mint julep?
I really want to
like
try
Jerry
it.
Like Jerry Jones?
I never tried it. So.
I'm telling you, it's a redneck mojito.
I mean, I like that. So far. I thought it was going to be worse. When it, you know, I don't like mint and chocolate. I don't like mint and ice cream.
It's
so.
Different, Marcos.
Yeah, no, this is different. This is different. Because I don't mind me a mojito.
Yeah, I would say a mojito is a little sweeter, but the mint is like the thing, you know? Yeah. That's what they like going on there.
All right.
Chris says, no, it is not. Somebody took it. It sounds like somebody feel judged.
Offensive.
Right. A little sensitive, huh, there, Chris? What do you got in the mixed bag today, Marcos?
I don't know, man. You tell me, dude. You tell me. You were there in person. I want to know if I should feel anything for this upcoming Marlins season. What I have to open up the mix bag is a little bit of audio from Bruce Sherman and Peter Bendix.
The Shermanator.
We're going to start with some Peter Bendix as he has a message for the fans. Very interested in hearing this message. Pete.
We're determined to win also. We want to win really soon. We want to win for a long time. We want to build something that is successful every single year, year in and year out. I think Clayton can be the right leader for that.
How far?
All right. I hope that he is.
At least for 2 years.
Yeah, until like you give him a decent team and he's like, oh, we're going to make some moves? Nah, get out of here, Clayton. You're not on the same page as us.
Mm. Yep.
You know, Tate South says his voice is just so annoying. It's fair. Really, he has he's got a tough voice. I mean, I will say that is the voice of somebody who does know baseball. I don't know.
Like, he knows. It sounds like he knows computer baseball.
Yeah, sure. But computer baseball has worked. It has worked. You know, he comes from a good organization. I don't have any faith in these guys anymore. Like this is the what round of people running the organization since
Bruce
Sherman's taken
over. You said something that worries me, but I understand. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the message is the same, but the delivery is not as smug.
Oh.
And that is with what Sherman had to say.
He was a little smug yesterday, though. He upped his smugness, I felt like. And he was saying this thing in his opening statement at the press conference. And he's like looking around the room, right? And, you know, and he's like, I'll just let you hear it. And you tell me if you hear the thing that like made me kind of go, ugh. Because that was my reaction. I was like, that's what you're going with, dude?
But every day, there's some fans here. We're all fans. Besides employees and observers and media. And I'm really excited. I've never seen the organization do what it's doing now. Most people don't see it on the outside, but the amount of focus and the amount of talent that we're bringing to the front office is enormous. We're not only bringing numbers of people, high quality people, we're bringing new technology to the front office. We're bringing improvements to the clubhouse. We're spending a lot of money and a lot of effort in things that you don't see. So we're really happy as an ownership group to be bringing that to the city of Miami and all of South Florida. So with that, I'm really excited about Clayton, and I'm going to turn it over to Peter and Clayton. Thank you.
Sorry, I know I was a little bit late there to the party. Sorry, Bruce.
Why is everybody wearing the same suit?
I don't know. Maybe team colors or something.
What just happened?
There wasn't really anything. There wasn't. I know what part got you.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of things you don't see.
And spending money.
We're spending
a lot of money on things people don't see. I'm like, all right.
So here's what I would say. I would say that there's nothing wrong with building a good infrastructure.
Of course not.
And a good support system before you go out and bring the actual product in, right? That being said, the money that you would spend to win indoors is not going to be anything close to what you have to spend outdoors to win games. And if you never do that, you're going to have a problem winning. And every other owner has said the same thing.
I'm really like, I don't get hung up on the payroll stuff as much as everybody else is, because like they're not going to hang with payroll in a division with the Braves, Mets, and Phillies. It's just never going to happen.
Correct.
But I have just been. I was talking about this with somebody last night. Like, I can't remember the last time the Marlins were able to draft and or trade. I guess Jazz kind of, but Jazz was always hurt and he never really put together a monster season, you know, like a full season. He either had a great first half and then he was gone. I am struggling to think of the time where I was like, I am pumped about these guys all the time. They've had pitchers. They've had great pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's been too long to have that guy every day you're excited to watch. And then like, if you're going to come out with Xavier Edwards and Norby, and I hope so, but I don't know. Like, you know, and I think that's the thing.
Never had the last surefire guy that everybody said, oh, he's going to be a player, would have to be Yelich, right?
Yelich, Stanton, Ozuna, yeah.
Stanton, Ozuna, right. And you didn't even keep those guys. And the reasonings behind it, and keep in mind, when Yelich left, he wasn't making a whole lot of money. I know Stanton was.
And they blew that trade. Like, that was supposed to be the gold mine. You trade a guy like that at his age with that cheap a contract, you're supposed to, like, and they didn't hit anybody. It's not as bad as the Miguel Cabrera trade, but it's arguable. Like,
So here's the thing. The way I see the Marlins is, they're afraid to spend money because every time they get one of these prospects or draft a player that ends up getting to the point that you want them to get to,
yeah,
you trade them before you have to pay them. And the guys you bring in are never any good. And so at some point, you got to change one of the two things.
Look, I don't know what AI Peter Bendix has got rolling up there in that front office that they're spending all this money that they're proud of spending off the field that we don't see. But give me some fun players to watch, dude. Come on, like, let's go. Enough already.
Here's the deal. The money that you would spend, again, in the front office would barely get you an average player. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you say I spent $10 million in infrastructure and facilities and whatever, like, that don't even get you an everyday player.
Look, you could run a deli and have the best meat slicer, but if you don't have quality meat, you're going to go out of business.
Yeah, okay. All right. That one,
you hit
on it.
Gotta know your audience, though. Deli meats.
It was much better than that last one.
A tiptoe down the sidelines?
Yes. After review, the runner remain inbounds.
What else you got for us, Marcos?
By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Post Malone headlining Coachella this year.
That's great. Really?
Yeah, indeed.
That means we're going to see 17 artists?
Three are going to be the main headliners. He's probably going to close out the show. But
No. I'm saying his part of the show going to have 17 artists.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell. Is this a real quote?
No, it's... It says that apparently there's one of three main acts for Coachella, which likely means he'll close out the whole thing. But don't worry, Tobin, if you want an opportunity to speak to him, this kicks off his big-ass stadium tour, apparently. He'll be in Miami, Florida, June 8th, but unfortunately, no Jelly Roll, according to this. He will not be...
Well, Jelly Roll's going to be in Tortuga anyway, so you're fine.
There you go. You have an opportunity to. But that's not in the mixed bag, Tobin. Enough of your obsession with him.
What?
Jesus.
Which, by the way, after the show yesterday, I get an email saying that our station's giving out Post Malone tickets. And I just thought it was perfect timing.
Look at that.
You're trolling me, Jennifer.
I promise you I got the email.
Yeah, but after.
Troll your boat.
Papa Roach first. Yesterday I did see something, an article came out. The numbers are officially out. Paul versus Tyson. Want to know how much they made at the gate, gentlemen?
Go ahead.
$13 million?
$18.1 million. The highest for a fighting event outside of Vegas and the ninth highest sporting event gate in the history of ticketed events.
Very surprised by that.
Indeed. Unfortunately, the damage is continuing to be done with this whole Jake Paul thing, though. Did you guys see who was actually chirping at Jake Paul yesterday?
Who isn't chirping at Jake Paul?
It seems to be everybody wants a piece of that pie. Better Beef offers a title shot to Jake Paul. Is that something?
Not how you say his name.
Archer Betterbeef?
Archer Betterbeev.
What? What?
Wait. Okay. I was like, I'm more than sure that's not how you say that.
He's the light heavyweight champion.
Yeah, didn't he recently fight?
He fought Beevil. Probably got the generous nod, if I'm honest.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's time.
If I'm honest, I think Beevil probably should have won that fight.
Is that something you'd be interested in seeing, or you're just completely over this?
I got to be honest with you. Man. I think
he'd get pummeled.
I think the greatest thing about Jake Paul is he has to start putting himself in harm's way.
This is harm.
Well, if he wants people to be like, if you want to break the Tyson record, then yeah, you do. Then yes, you have to put yourself in harm's way. But I got to be honest with you, dude. I find it nearly embarrassing from these boxers that are all like, I'll fight. I'm like, dude, you're the lineal light heavyweight champion of the world. Daniel Dubois has a piece of the heavyweight title outside of Usyk. Like, you guys need to go pick a fight with Jake Paul because you know that you'd kick his ass instead of a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Like, I would hope so.
That check.
You know what I mean? I understand the check is huge, and that's why everybody's doing it.
Here's what I don't get. You know it's called prize fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
You fight for money.
You're a champ. But Leroy, there also has to be a standard.
But here's why that's possible. It's possible because where you fight or box won't make you as much money as if you fight in Looney Tunes.
And if
that's a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's
so
fine.
So it's not their fault.
It actually is. Like, if you're not that big of a draw, that's on you. Not every fighter deserves to make $30 million. If people don't want to watch you, people don't want to watch you.
Okay. Okay.
But, the idea that if you're a standing champion right now, like, if Andre Ward wants to do it, you've done everything there is to do, and he wants to come out of retirement and do it, I get that. Okay. Deontay Wilder, you've done everything there is to do in the sport. Cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, plus, you need a little comeback because you've been getting your
ass. Like, you want something like, fine. If you're the reigning, defending, four-belt champion of the sport and you're like, I'll fight Jake Paul. Come on, dude. Go fight. Why don't you do me a favor, Betterbeev? Go put a better performance against Beevil, okay? Because you got away scot-free with that. And Daniel Dubois. Like, come on, dude. How about you do this? Do me a little favor. Fury, Usyk, put your mind on them, all right? You already got your ass kicked by Usyk. So stop worrying about Jake Paul. You should be able to beat Jake Paul.
Hmm.
It's like when this stuff happens, I'm like, all right. especially the guys who are like his size, you know, like even like Gervonta Davis. I'm like, all right, so like the little man's got to go in there, the wee man's got to go in there with his uppercuts to go fight Jake Paul. Like, this is the, you guys are this, are you guys really this upset about Jake Paul, or no, are you guys just trying to get that cash?
They're trying. It's called prize fighting, right? The only reason why they have the belts is because you get more money when you fight with the belt. Okay? If they didn't have to have the belt and pay these organizations a bit of their money, and they could go make similar money doing Looney Tunes, they would do Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but nobody knows
it's
who they are.
Prize fighting.
Nobody knows, like, who really, like, hit, unless you're just like, hey, this guy might fight Jake Paul, who will kill him. Like, that's the attraction. They don't really care about seeing Beterbiev fight. You don't really get to know how good Beterbiev is. You don't really get to know how good Dubois is.
Right. But again, the Jake Paul thing wouldn't be, nobody would care until they start showing the numbers that he gets from these fights. And guess what? Him and 58-year-old Mike Tyson drew better than some of the championship fights you've seen in recent history.
Of course. But okay. Mike Tyson's one of the biggest pay-per-view stars of all time.
Okay. So, clearly, as much as you want to hate on Jake Paul, as much as a lot of people are over his act, what he is doing is getting people paid.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You guys also aren't watching like all the other stuff. They're not doing monster numbers like this. I agree with like the thought process of, yeah, the Jake Paul thing had a factor in it for sure, but I think a lot of it had to do with Tyson.
Okay.
Like Tyson has a piece of sports culture and culture, yes, and pop culture that, yes, spans generations.
Here's what's the amazing thing about Tyson is. It's been 20 years since he won a fight.
Yeah.
And still, people got excited to see him back in the ring. There's not a bunch of people. And furthermore, with all the stuff that he went through at the end of his career, to still have people clamoring to see him in a ring is even more amazing. So he's a one-of-a-kind deal.
I think Jake Paul's
that is a unique, more unique than I guess any of us thought.
Yeah. Anything else, Froggy?
No, but you're pronouncing that wrong, by the way. It's Daniel Du Bois. Sorry, I'll see myself out. I wanted that 4 minutes ago. I apologize.
Minus one.
I just didn't like that.
Well, yeah, we got a little, we have something that has come across my wire. And we could just file this under the old Tobes was right category.
What?
We'll get to that coming up next. All right.